Dex and Omar Overtime presented by Gulfstream Park. It's time to take all of your questions that you sent us during the show. I'm going to start.
Okay.
I'm going to take one from Trifected, who always has great questions. Alshon Jeffrey just signed a deal with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
4 years, $52 million, 27 guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
You like that for Landry? Or theoretically, shouldn't Jeffrey...
So think about it. It's not really 27 guaranteed, because what you have to factor in is that he made $8 million 1 year this year.
Uh-huh.
So ultimately, that deal comes to 5 years, $60 million, which is, I think, in the range of what Jarvis Landry is trying to get to.
Okay.
The difference is Alshon Jeffrey's made, what's 27 plus 8?
35.
Yes. Sure. I'm a journalist for a reason. I'm not good at math. He made $35 million guaranteed. As I always say, when you're looking at contracts, ignore every other number. Just count the guaranteed money and then divide it up by years, and you'll find out what the real value of that deal is. And to me, Jarvis Landry is in the $30 to $33 million guaranteed range. And that breaks down to either $10 million a year or $11 million a year. If he can get more than that, God bless him, but I'm not paying him more than that.
Okay. You got one? You got one for him?
Okay, yeah. Let's go to DJL from London. Regardless of the defensive coordinator, this defense is trash and has been for the last 2 years. Is it scheme or talent? That's a good question. I don't think it's a scheme, because I don't have a problem with the scheme that they're running. I think the issue is, this defense is built to play with a lead.
Mm-hmm.
Why you would build a Dolphins defense to play with a lead, I have absolutely no idea. Adam Gase clearly did not know who he was working with when he built this team. But they are built to play with a lead. We saw what they did against Denver. When you get a lead, you call on the dogs, Cameron Wake and Charles Harris-esque, you know, they apply pressure.
We say that all the time. What does that mean? Are we talking about defensive ends that specifically are pass rushers?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we mean. Are we talking about linebackers that are more
downhill? When another opponent has the lead, or the game is close, defensively you're thinking, okay, there's run pass, and it causes a little bit of a hesitation there.
Right.
Or you got to have your edge setting run, your edge setters on the field, and then William Hayes doesn't rush the quarterback like Cameron Wake rushes the quarterback. Now, let's say you've got a 10-point lead in the third quarter and a defense feels the pressure. They're probably going to be throwing 70% of the time. You can leave Wake out there on the field, and more than likely he's going to be rushing the passer, and it just makes your team a little bit better. It makes your linebackers less hesitant. It makes your safeties realize, okay, I don't have to go try to force a turnover. I could just play, keep everything in front of me, as opposed to Rashad Jones when they're trailing, it's like, oh, I got to get a turnover to create it. So teams are built differently. This team, unfortunately, for Dolphin fans, are built to play with a lead, and I don't think it's very wisely built.
But. All right, next question from Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a mistake to release Maxwell? Actually, that's an old question. But was it a mistake to release Maxwell? Would they be better?
You know what? I watched Maxwell get picked on by the Eagles against playing for Seattle. He's playing. I don't know if he's starting, but he's playing for the Seahawks. I could have told you before he got cut, Byron Maxwell's an NFL player. He's going to go play, not sit on a bench. He's going to go play for somebody else. You know, truth be told, Byron Maxwell just got tired of jumping through the hoops.
Yeah.
And when you got guaranteed contract and they owe you $5 million to sit at home, all right.
Sure.
So, you know, was it a mistake? If Cordarrelle Tankersley isn't able to play against New England Patriots, yes, it was a mistake. Mm-hmm. But if he's not, it is what it is.
Right. Matt, how was Isaiah Ford prior to his injury? Do you see him as a good piece?
Who? No offense, but...
Seventh round receivers, do they do really well in the NFL? Name one.
Rishard Matthews.
There you go.
All right. Here's a question from Ian Wynn. Is there any chance the Dolphins switch to a 3-4 next year? Looks like they could have all the pieces they need to run it. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. To run a 3-4, you need a pillar of granite as a nose tackle. Those are very hard to find, and Dolphins definitely don't have one. And Ndamukong Suh is not one. Cannot play it. You need also edge-setting defensive ends. Cameron Wake is not one. Mm-hmm. William Hayes is one, but then you need somebody for the other side. Andre Branch is not really one. So I don't really think the 3-4 defense makes sense for them. And Adam Gase is not interested in running a 3-4.
All right. Matt Ferrara wants to know, at this point in the season, who has been the most and least valuable players on the team?
Good question. I would think, when he says value, is it bang for buck?
Hold on. Let me look into his tweet, look at his face, and try to read his mind. I have no idea what he wants to know. I just asked you the question.
Let me see his Twitter again. I can read Twitter avatars. All right. He's got a real humble.
Some kind of baseball
he's a young
player.
Guy,
oh,
real
young
humble.
Guy,
yeah.
Player.
Okay. I am going to say the worst bang for your buck is Jay Cutler. He's second highest paid player on the team in terms of real money being paid this year. And he's all
right. Right.
You know, obviously Byron Maxwell was the highest before he got cut. So I'm going to have to put it on Jay. No offense, Jay. But he's probably just going to shrug his shoulders to that anyway. Don't care.
Right.
Biggest
bang for your buck.
Oh, that's easy.
Landry.
That's got to be Landry.
It's got to be Landry.
It used to be Jay Ajayi, because yeah. Who was making less than Landry, until he basically rubbed you the wrong way and got the heave ho. But Jarvis Landry making $900,000 this year is just a crime. Mm. Criminal.
All right, Audie, who is on a shorter a leash this offseason, Mike Tannenbaum or Chris Greer?
Neither.
Either.
And I have this conversation all the time. What exactly am I blaming Mike Tannenbaum for? Like, your team is capped out. If I had to make one major criticism of Mike Tannenbaum, is that the team is cap stressed, and they're cap stressed because of some of the decisions he made. He didn't have to extend Kiko Alonso before he had to. You had him on a second round. You had him on a first round tender. You should have put him on a second round tender. You didn't have to extend T.J. McDonald. You chose to do that before you even saw him play with Rashad Jones. Like, why? And then the contract that you gave Jay Cutler. But Jay Cutler wasn't coming out of retirement for a penny less than $10 million. And Adam Gase wanted him. What are you going to do? So I don't blame him for anything. And then I recently wrote a column in the Sun Sentinel, which a lot of Dolphin fans are coming around to, about the fact that, you know, you need to learn some of these lessons from some of these failed GMs like Rick Spielman, who has the hottest team in the NFL, mm-hmm. playing with a third-string quarterback, 9-2 in Minnesota. He's the GM of the Minnesota Vikings. And then Jeff Ireland, who is credited for helping to build and make these New Orleans Saints a playoff contender, if not Super Bowl contender. Jeff Ireland.
That Jeff Ireland.
That
not
Jeff
some
Ireland.
Other Jeff Ireland.
That Jeff Ireland. And, you know, and I always say this, and people used to stone me to death. I say, Jeff Ireland is not a bad talent evaluator. They nickname him Super Scout for a reason. He can scout talent. The problem is all that old personal stuff, all that, you know, people management and, you know, hey, buddy, and, you know, I'm not good at it either, so I can't blame Jeff. But, you know, Jeff just lacked personal skills that you need to be in a position of management. Now, has he learned from his mistakes here? Absolutely. Is it making him a better executive? Yes, same thing with Rick Spielman. If you get rid of Chris Greer after 2 years, when you really haven't even seen the fruits of his labor, like, you know, it's kind of premature. So to me, it makes absolutely no sense. Just because you have a crappy season doesn't mean somebody's head has to hang. That, you know, it doesn't work like that. It shouldn't work like that, unless you're the Cleveland Browns.
Oh yeah, well, Savvy Prince, do you think you can get the same or just as much production with Marquise Gray as with Julius Thomas?
My answer to that question would be yes.
Ooh.
However, let me not be disrespectful to Julius Thomas or to Adam Gase, who Julius Thomas is smart. He's intelligent. There's not much you could throw at him that he doesn't know, isn't going to master. The problem I have with Julius Thomas is it's not that he doesn't, it's great to know what you're supposed to do. Mm. how well do you do it? Hmm. How well do you create separation on routes? Do you threaten the seam? Are you that dynamic of a red zone target? Can you pass protect? Can you run block? The answer to most of those questions are no. Hmm. And that's where I have the issue with Julius Thomas. Now, do I know if Marquise Gray can do it? No, but I'd like to find out.
Sure. Let's take some more from the chat here.
Okay. Slick6971. He wants to know my thoughts on TJ McDaniel,
McDonald,
and Rashad Jones tandem. Jury's still out. Jury's still out. Probably going to continue to be out. I need to see them cut down the big plays, help the secondary improve in terms of tightening up coverage. Just not feeling it, dog. I'm just not feeling it. I'm doing my Randy Jackson impersonation.
Next, Shane, I can answer this one for you. The Dolphins are wearing their throwbacks on Monday.
Are they?
They are.
What does a throwback mean? Really?
Yeah, they're wearing their old ones. They're, you know, the dark old aqua and the...
Word?
Yeah.
I didn't know
with
that.
The old helmets, yeah.
Word.
All right. And, you answered the question about Cutler. It was not worth the money, Finn Fan. Sorry about that.
Listen, Cutler's here cashing a check, baby. And I don't blame him, because I would love for somebody to cash me, give me a $10 million check to come out of retirement. Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I'm with you. Tom asked a question about, we started the whole show talking about whether or not they should be tanking for a better pick. Patriots pick last in the draft every single year. It doesn't matter. The draft picks, they really, whether they're
Pittsburgh picking, Steelers aren't whether, drafting in the top
whether
round.
They're picking ninth yeah. or they're picking 13th. It really is
Pittsburgh
not a huge
Steelers
difference.
Are not drafting in the top round, top of any round, and they just make it happen. They seem to be doing just fine. That I gave you a perfect example. Like, I've always thought that the and I've always said this, Los Angeles Rams probably have one of the best rosters in the NFL, talent-wise, from start to finish. I've gone like 6-7 years, been like, man, I really love their draft. Man, I really love their draft. Man, I really love their draft. Now, they sucked last year.
Right.
And clearly, this season has taught us coaching has a lot to do with it. Mm. And sometimes it's down on the coaching. Sometimes it is talent. Would I love to see the Dolphins have as much talent as the Rams do? Absolutely. But I'd also love to see them be as well coached. So...
I make the argument about the Browns. We bring it up, I feel like, every week. Deshaun Watson was a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. There's no way he would be as successful as he had been with Houston Texans before he got hurt. And if Deshaun Kaiser was a quarterback of the Texans, he'd be a hell of a lot better than he is with the Cleveland Browns. A lot of times it's where you land, not who you pick up. Questions from who we got here. Yeah, Mike.
In regards to Carew.
Yeah.
Parker is at 70%. The whole season is about, let's see what young players have. You know what you have with Parker. Hurt, not hurt. You know what you have. Why is Carew not playing? Games don't matter. See what you have. And if he's a stiff, you cut him and move on.
Question is, why is Leonte Carew not playing? Games don't matter, is what Mike says. Shouldn't we be seeing as much as we can from him?
You know, I thought Adam Gase said two very interesting and important things last week about young players and their mindset, their mentality. When they're not involved in the game, they're not involved in the game plan, they know they're not really going to play, are they burning the midnight oil or have they checked out? And I think a lot of young players, the issue I see is a lot of them check out. Mm-hmm. And I think Leonte Carew is checked out. And what will it get to have him to check in? I don't know. Certain players have that hunger, that dog, that drive, that determination. And whether they're in the game or not, they're checked in. And Leonte just has not checked in.
In regards to that question, how do you feel about Charles Harris?
I think he's trying. I think he gets enough snaps. He gets like 30 a game. I just don't think he physically knows technically what he's supposed to do or is able to master the technique. You know, this is his first game, setting the edge and the responsibility. You know, in Missouri, and this is what people don't understand, the transition between college and the pros is a lot different. You got responsibilities in pros. In college, your coach should say, go get the quarterback. Yeah. Hunt. And he's like, okay. it's not the same. And he's struggling to master his responsibilities of setting the edge. I can't tell you how many big plays, and I don't want to put him on blast, but there have been at least 7 to 8 big plays on him because he can't set the edge this season. Like, that adds up after time.
Sure. More questions? Yes.
Yeah.
Question is, if they don't sign Jarvis Landry, where are they getting that production from?
Well, the market on receivers for non-elite receivers is probably around the $4 million range. I don't think you'll have an issue finding a slot receiver for $4 million. Hell, the Denver Broncos might cut Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah. You never know how it's going to all play out. You could draft a slot receiver early in the draft. I mean, slot receivers aren't that hard to find. Good ones are, but slot receivers aren't that hard to find. And lo and behold, you can make Kenny Stills. Before he came to the Dolphins, he was a slot receiver in New England, in New Orleans.
Right. Next question.
Dave.
Given his performance over the last couple of weeks, do you think Jordan Phillips has turned a corner and becoming a good defensive tackle?
Question is, has Jordan Phillips turned the corner?
I will never say Jordan Phillips has turned the corner ever in my life, because
that comes off as being a hater, Omar.
I am in the hater crowd of the Jordan Phillips camp, just from this standpoint. I've seen him take his foot off the motor, off the pedal 10 times. His reputation coming in takes his foot off the pedal. I can guarantee you Jordan Phillips next year probably look like a Pro Bowler because it's a pay year. It's a contract year. Those players, I don't want them. I can't win with them. Michael Singletary speak? What is it? Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Do not want them. If I have to constantly light a fire under your backside to get you to play, like Jordan Phillips, only plays well when he's demoted, or trying to prevent being demoted. Like, you should play well out of pride, man. Yeah. You should play well because your name is on everything you do. And yeah, he's better now because he's a platoon player. And I think that they should be playing a four-man defensive tackle rotation. Because I like Vincent Taylor probably as much, if not more, than I like Jordan Phillips. Because he's hungry. He's hungry to play. Jordan Phillips ain't hungry.
Any more questions? You guys good? Good? All right. Thank you so much for your questions, and thank you so much for watching X's and Omar Overtime, presented by Gulfstream Park. Remember, you can listen to the X's and Omar podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Thank you so much for being a part of this week and every week. Today.